Tonight we're going to discuss what submission is. It's out of chapter 3 in the book, if you want to follow along. And it's the book, Disciplines of a Godly Woman. But, all right, what is submission? A lot of times we think submission has to do with a woman's role in marriage or a woman's role in the church. But tonight we're going to talk about how to learn how submission is, how submission to God is much more extensive than these other applications. The definition we get in the book is submission is the yielding of authority to another. In our society, a lot of times, we hear submission as often regarded as degrading or belittling, when in reality, I think submission can be a beautiful thing sometimes. I think of my dog, Zoe, who is almost 5 years old now, and when she was a puppy, she was only 8 weeks old when we got her. And at the same time we got her, we had a two-week-old foster child. And we knew right away when we had a puppy that we wanted to train her to be good with children. So when she was a puppy, we would pull her ears, we would pull her tail, we would bug her while she was eating. We would try to do everything that a toddler would do to a dog. And as you can see now, she lets them do everything to her. And even my husband takes her around and carries her, and she wraps her paws around him like a baby. So she might be hyper when people first come over because a lot of you have met her. But then she comes down and becomes a big mush. But because of Zoe's submission, she is able to enjoy the love and benefits of living in our home and with our children, because I love my dog, but if she ever did anything to my children come first. So the same goes for us. When we submit to God's will, we benefit from it, and so does everyone else around us. When learning about submission, there are two different ways to submit to God. The first is submission to God's loving rule, which ties back to this. Submission is the definition, which is submission is the yielding of authority to another. The authority we have to yield to is God's authority. When we recognize that we are submitting to God's loving authority, that makes it easier. It is hard to submit to someone's plan for you if you know they love you and have your best interest in mind. It is difficult to submit simply because we often have a misunderstanding of who God is and we struggle giving up control. Paul writes about Christ's lordship in his letter to the churches in Philippians. Philippians 2, 8, and 9, and Miss Nancy is going to read those verses to us.
Can I stand here?
Sure, yes.
Philippians 2, 8 through 9. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Thank you, Nancy. Like the book says, the message in the Bible is clear. Jesus Christ is Lord. With that being said, bringing our lives into submission to his will in everything is a key to being a godly woman. It is also the path to joy. I don't know about you guys, but I know the days I don't spend first thing with God are the days that are harder for me. I have a worse attitude towards my kids. I know I don't have the willing heart I should have. My spirit is different, and I don't have joy. But when I start my day with Jesus, the days are always much better. Okay, so we are to first submit to God's loving rule, which we went over, but we are also, secondly, we are to submit to God's order. In submitting to God's order, we're going to read James 4, 7, and I believe Mary Ann had that. Thank you. And then we're going to read Hebrews 12:9, which Brenda.
Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?
Thank you, Brenda. I love how author Mary Kaysen says it in the book. Believers who cannot submit to human authority do not know how to submit to God, for it is God who demands submission within human relationships. Conversely, believers will be ineffective leaders, incapable of fulfilling human authority roles until they learn to submit to others. Submission is for everyone. Many times I have found it hard to submit to others because I am not walking with the Lord, like submitting to God daily. And when it comes down to the heart of the matter, I am not submitting to God. Jesus is our prime example of living a life of submission. In John 8, 27 through 30. Sarah Adler. Thank you, Sarah. Jesus experienced many different life situations and difficulties, but in everything he pleased his heavenly Father. I know I cannot say that I've always pleased God. This next illustration is pretty personal to me, and it's when John and I first got married, or even before that, we talked about we always wanted to have children. And we just assumed that, like everyone, that they can have children. So about 2 years into our marriage, we decided we were going to start trying. And when it didn't naturally come, I got a bitter heart towards God. And it became really difficult. Some days I had my ups and downs, but then I soon realized that it's not my will, but it's God's will that I have to submit to. And in that, of course, you can see I have two beautiful children now that I love so very much, but that was 5 years that took me to really surrender to God and give my whole life and give my will to him, because even if it's our will, it's not his will. Even if you think I do the Lord's will every day, I did everything right. I went to a Christian school. I went to a Christian college. I go to church. I read my Bible. That doesn't, my husband and I stayed pure till we got married. That doesn't mean God owes us. Like Pastor was talking a couple weeks ago, God doesn't owe us anything. We owe God. We owe God everything. And until we realize that, and even when we do, because yes, I had two children, and yes, we would eventually love to have more, but we don't know if that's the Lord's will for our life. But in that, I have to be happy. And that's where God's given me the peace, because I know he's in control. And whatever his will is, I need to follow. As sinners, we naturally want to do the opposite and define our own boundaries. That is why submission is something we have to learn. How do we submit to God's loving rule and God's order? The practical question is, how do we submit to God? I think the book says it best when it says, submission applies to every area of our lives. And we begin by restoring the gospel to its rightful place at the center of our thoughts and deeds in everyday life. This submitting is an ongoing daily choosing of God's ways over our ways. A simpler way to say this is look to Jesus. Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane is a beautiful picture of how we should submit to God's will. And I have Holly reading Hebrews 5:7. Thank you, Holly. This is a beautiful picture of how much Jesus desired to submit to God, no matter what the cost. The word submission can be beautiful, but also very scary. And my last illustration is, and some of you know this, but when I was about 27 weeks pregnant with James and Bella, they found that my son was very sick. They found he had what's called high drops, which is fluid around the lungs. But at that time, they sent me down to Yale, and they did 4 different major procedures on me and him. And at that time, the last one put me into, labor, but my water broke. And I was put on hospital rest. I said I wasn't put on bed rest because I was still moving around. They had to make me lay down. But I was put on hospital rest. And at that time, I had a doctor come in to me, a neonatologist. I had been there for 2 weeks. I've never talked to the neonatologist before. And really, we thought once these procedures were done, that James would be better. When she came in that day, she said, "Laura, you need to abort your son." And I was 32 weeks pregnant. She said, "You need to abort him so your daughter may live." And I remember looking at my parents. John was here at work, but I remember looking at my parents and they were just bawling. They were crying because they didn't know what to do, and my dad's not saved, so he didn't have that hope. But at that time, I just remember saying, "God, this is in your hands." And I thought I had submitted to God, and I thought, okay, everything's going to be good after this. But a couple weeks later, I gave birth to the kids, and James was so sick. Every day was touch and go, as Dana and Pastor and many of you guys were right there alongside of us, helping us in every way possible, especially with prayer. And we have never forgotten that. But at that time, I remember being in, James was every night, they asked us to move down to Yale at that time because he was so touch and go. And they said, "Keep your phones on at night in case we have to call you." And I just remember one night going back to my room, going back to the hotel room, no one was there, and just breaking down and saying, "God, he is yours." And we can say that, but until we actually do it and realize that we have a child that's almost dying, well, he many times was touch and go, but at that time, I said, God, he's your child. If you take him, it's your will, not mine. But I can say to this day, they gave me a 10% chance. They said, James will not run. He will not play like other kids. And as many of you know, he doesn't stop running. But, and we are just so happy to say that that kid is a miracle. And the best thing through that whole thing, that not that we gave him, we gave him to God, but we did see a nurse saved through that. So that was cool. As I end, I have a challenge for all of you, and also for my own life. I challenge you to start your day by submitting to God's loving rule, in order by looking to Jesus every day and see where he takes you. Because I know the days I start off with Jesus are the best days.